Well, let's just say Merry Christmas to somebody next to you. Merry Christmas. That's kind of hard to say that without smiling. It's okay to smile at First Baptist Mount Juliet. Amen?
Amen.
We're talking about the Holy Family, and holy doesn't mean that they are something special or different than you or I. But Joseph and Mary were chosen by God, 100% human, and yet God used them. Holy means set apart. And last week we looked at Joseph. Joseph, he was chosen to be the father of Jesus, not biologically, but to raise him, to teach him the word of God, which he did, and lead the family, which he did. He was chosen because he was descendant of David, but he was a carpenter with convictions, compassion, courage, and a compliant heart. That was last week. Today we're going to focus on Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus, why she was chosen, why she was the one out of all the others that could have given birth to God's one and only son. She was the one that was chosen. We're going to look at Luke chapter 1, and we're going to pick up some from the text, some of the clues that will answer that question. You know, as we do, some who confess Jesus as Lord are tempted to idolize her. For centuries, that was the norm and still is in some circles. Protestants like us, we fit under that umbrella, are tempted to go the other direction and ignore her. But the Bible doesn't give room for either option. We should neither idolize Mary or ignore Mary. But we can learn from Mary, and that's what we're going to do today. And you probably picture, since we don't have photographs from the first century, different pictures of Mary in your mind. I've got a few up here that we can look at. These are Renaissance pictures, so these aren't necessarily accurate, but this is kind of how people, artists, picture her. We were actually, Janet and I were in several churches and cathedrals in October on our 20th anniversary trip. We were in England, Austria, and Italy, and we saw lots of paintings, but nobody wanted us to take pictures in the church. That's not true here. You take all you want. That's why I moved the pulpit. Take pictures of your kids, share them, you know. But we also don't have pictures of Mary up on the wall, so we're a little different. But there's, however you picture Mary, Mary was very young, as was normal. And in that time when starting a family, think of a young teenager, and they saw them as adults. There was no such thing as a teenager. There was no subgroup between child and adult. And so these young adults, Joseph and Mary, were chosen by God. And I'm going to share five reasons why I think Mary was chosen based on this text. So we're going to start in chapter 1 of Luke, verse 26. In honor of God and His Word, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Luke 1, 26 says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph. And the angel came to her and said, 'Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you.' But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.'" Thank you, Father, for Joseph and Mary, for their key role in the first Christmas, key role in the Christmas rescue that you initiated when you sent your only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. What a wonderful, wonderful story of good news, of great joy. We pray, Lord, that today we would not idolize or ignore Mary, but learn from her and rise up and call her blessed, as you said that we would. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So if you take your notes, first reason God chose Mary was that she was willing to follow a plan that she didn't understand. We see Mary is confused. She's compliant like Joseph, but she's confused. Have you ever felt like God was leading you to do something that did not make sense to you? You're trying to figure it out. Unlike Zechariah, she didn't question God in a disrespectful way. She wasn't argumentative like Zechariah, who went mute for about 9 months. But she had questions. In fact, it says that she was deeply troubled. And sometimes we're afraid to talk about our feelings among other believers. Sometimes things bother us, even in the Bible, that we scratch our heads, we don't understand. Or somebody said something from this pulpit or in your small group, and you're like, I don't understand, or maybe you don't agree. Well, that's the way Mary was. Not only was she confused, she was afraid. We know that because the angel says, do not be afraid. We talked about that last week. Every time somebody talks to an angel, they're saying, hey, calm down. Don't be afraid. Said that to Joseph. Said that to Zechariah. Said that to the shepherds. And if you see an angel, you're probably going to freak out a little bit, right? I mean, this is not just any old angel. This is Gabriel. Gabriel is the top messenger. And we don't have a lot of details about the hierarchy of angels, but we know that Gabriel was the top messenger. Angel, the word angel means messenger. And he was the top guy. Wasn't the only messenger, but he was top messenger. It says that Gabriel was one that also spoke to Zechariah. It doesn't tell us which angel spoke to Joseph in his dream. Could have been Gabriel. But you also have another key angel is Michael. Michael's the warrior. He's the fighter. The top military guy. And then God had chosen the top worship leader. Anybody know his name? Lucifer. Yeah, well, he got fired. Nobody calls their kid Lucifer, or should, okay? So no. But these angels are still alive, all three of them. One's wreaking havoc. His job is to kill, steal, and destroy, and I hope I'm on the front seat when he gets tossed in the lake of fire. Because I'm sick of death and sick of sin. These are all real angels and real people, not to be confused with each other. People don't become angels. Angels don't become people. So regardless of what you see on the Hallmark Channel, just remember that. So Gabriel says, yeah, he's patient with her. Again, less patient with Zechariah because he was disrespectful and doubting. And he just said to Zechariah, I'm Gabriel. I'm a messenger from God. But when she was troubled here, wondering what kind of greeting this was, he was patient. And then she asks these questions. How can it be? It's not biologically possible. No one before her or since has had a baby like this. And she had never, ever heard the Christmas story. Right? Just think about that. So, I mean, this is confusing. And remember that when you're talking to a neighbor, a coworker, or a family member, don't assume they know it either. She says, don't be afraid. Or he says, don't be afraid. And it's because she was. Even though she didn't understand what was going to happen, she even knew less how it was going to happen. Her lack of understanding and lack of faith are not the same thing. You see, I want you to make sure you see the difference between what Mary's response was and Zechariah's response. Lack of understanding and lack of faith are not the same thing. So if you have questions, that doesn't mean that you're immature. Doesn't mean that you're disrespectful. It means that you're curious, and God can handle questions. This plan was a hard plan to understand. But she did it anyway. She was willing to follow a plan she did not understand, and God knew that about her. The second reason he chose Mary was because she was willing to pay an unreasonable price. Now, unreasonable means It's beyond reason. She doesn't understand it. It doesn't mean that the price is that God's being unreasonable, but sometimes you cannot reason out the what God has asked you to do. And sometimes we try to rationalize doing nothing based on the fact that what God asked us to do was hard. You remember the first time somebody told you what the word tithe really meant? You're like, what? That's hard. You remember the first time somebody challenged you to share your faith with somebody? That's hard. Remember the first time that God had prompted you to walk down the front of a church, or perhaps even more difficult, to go backwards in a body of water in front of a bunch of people? Scared you to death. But you also might remember what it's like to walk down an aisle in a wedding and repeat some words in front of your friends and family, but you did it anyway because you were in love. Mary loved the Lord, and God saw her heart and said, I know that Mary is not going to understand this, and I know that Mary's going to see this price is high, but she's going to do it anyway. I am being inspired by Mary right now. Are you? Mary saw that this was an unreasonable price. How can this be? She says, since I've not had sexual relations with a man. I don't get this. Angel said, Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Oh, it's a God thing. Sometimes that's all you get. And then verse 37 says, nothing's impossible with God. Sometimes that's all I've got. So how's God going to get me through this? Because God's God, and nothing is impossible with God. That's not a fortune cookie that Gabriel's reading off of right there. He's a messenger from God. And God's telling Mary, and God's telling you, and God's telling me, there's not one challenge in your life that is bigger than God. Y'all gonna make me work for it this morning, aren't you? I got one amen out of that. I don't know. I'm thinking Gabriel may have had a better response than me. I'm gonna give you another shot at this. Gabriel said to Mary, nothing is impossible with God. Amen. Come on, man. I mean, isn't that awesome? Sometimes I need to hear that from somebody. Sometimes I need to even hear it from myself. In fact, I'm going to say it again in a couple hours. In between these general statements, nothing's impossible with God, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you, he says, oh yeah, remember Elizabeth. In verse 36, he says, remember Elizabeth. That's your relative. It's translated sometimes, I mean, it could be cousin, it could be aunt. It's a generic term, and so they were related somehow. It doesn't really matter, but they knew each other, and she stayed with her for several months. So they were close relatives, and it says, remember Elizabeth, who's pregnant, been pregnant for 6 months, and she's way too old to be pregnant. But God made a promise, and nothing is impossible with God. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You guys are warming up. Get some caffeine before you come to church. Has God ever called you to do something that's unreasonable? Now I hope so. Has God ever challenged you to do something that requires big, bold faith? And nobody here is going to get this challenge that Mary got. But we can learn from it. We can learn from her response and Zechariah's response. And so, Janet and I were talking about this a couple of nights ago about Mary. Mary, you know, one thing the Lord showed me this week is that, as best I can tell, personal interpretation is that Mary had a choice. Mary had a choice. Now, here's why I think this. Because her response here, she says, may it be done to me according to your word. Also, the tense of here says the Holy Spirit is going to, future tense, come upon you, that you will conceive, that these things will happen. And so it's not like he came and she was already pregnant. She was already great with child. She accepted this. And so I think that the Lord is sovereign. So he knew she was going to say yes, but she still had a choice. And if anybody can figure out the sovereignty of God and the will of man, then you're way smarter than me. There's some mysteries in the Bible that aren't meant to be solved this side of heaven. Mary said yes. She was a yes woman like Joseph was a yes man. She was willing to pay an unreasonable price. I mean, think about the price for a second. First of all, she was willing to give her body to the Lord. Romans 12:1 tells us the same thing. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to the Lord. This is true worship. This is your true worship. You're not going to get another body this side of heaven. You'll get one later, but not down here. And she said, okay, it's not my body, it's your body. So you use it however you want to. She was also willing to give up her child to the Lord. You know, one thing I love about the Bible is it's honest with us. It never tells us that Christianity is easy. Sometimes I get the impression by watching television, listening to a podcast or radio from, you know, I hear preachers make Christianity sound easy. It's not. So if you're not a Christian, I want you to know becoming a Christian is a pure act of grace. God's done all the work to save you, but becoming a Christian has a high price that you must be willing to die in order to live. There's nothing easy about being a Christian. And there's definitely nothing easy about being a parent. Can I get amen on that one?
Amen.
Yeah, I got a lot of amens on that one. So she's saying, you're about to be a parent in a strange way. You're going to be pregnant before you're married. And it's going to be mysterious, but the Lord can do anything. She was willing to give this child up to the Lord. We saw that at the dedication, especially with Anna. Her child would be called Jesus, which means Yahweh saves. And this is her son. Her son's going to be called the Son of God. Her son's going to be called the King of Israel. That's a lot. She was willing to give up her reputation. Now, she was at Elizabeth's house for a part of this, but the other part, she had some explaining to do. How would you like to tell your friends that story? I talked to Gabriel. And what Gabriel said was, you know, I mean, you saw the response from Joseph. I just think that reputation was, it had been a challenge for a teenage girl. But she did have the presence of God and the power of God and the testimony of Elizabeth to reinforce. She was also willing to give up her comfort. Sometimes I'm rationalizing and thinking about what God, you're saying yes to God based on my comforts. Anybody else struggle with that? You know, I know what God wants me to do, but I don't know. I have to check my schedule, to check my bank account. Especially my hunting schedule. When you start thinking about things, I want you to remember Mary. Mary was not unlike most young women, dreaming about a wedding. Weddings were way bigger deal. I'm doing a wedding for a young couple that I watched grow up in my last church. And this week on Friday, be doing a wedding. And it's a big deal. And family's going to spend an enormous amount of money on this thing. And there'll be a big reception, but listen, just study the way they did weddings in first century Jewish families. They did them big and they did them long. I mean, not long day, think long week. It's a big, big deal. And she didn't have one. Her friends probably did. She did not grow up dreaming of having a honeymoon in a barn, having a baby, like her friends. She paid a high price, an unreasonable price, but she said yes to it. She said yes to it. Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. But here's my favorite part. I like this right here. Verse 35. Angel replied to her. Here's what Gabriel said. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Now, overshadow is a term that describes the presence of God. It is a term used to describe what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. And in the Greek, Old Testament. The Old Testament was in Hebrew, but it was translated also into Greek. They used the same word in that translation regarding the Old Testament temple. So if you imagine when the cloud of God's presence coming into the tabernacle in the Old Testament, or God's presence at the Mount of Transfiguration, I mean, it's kind of a nebulous, ethereal kind of thing, a cloud, a presence, or the upper room. The presence of God, you don't see it, but you feel it, and you know it's there, right? You know it's there. And here's what Gabriel's saying, okay? The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. It is a term that can be translated hover. And sometimes when we're confused and afraid about what God wants us to do, he says, here's a promise I can make to you. My Spirit will hover over you. And if you've been a believer very long, and you've been caged up in a doctor's office or in a hospital or at a funeral home, or you're having that last talk at work because you're about to get fired, or you have something like that, your child is sick, then all of a sudden you feel like somebody is hovering over you. And you can't explain it, but the peace of God that transcends all understanding guards your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, that's God hovering. Nobody likes it when the parents hover over them while they're doing homework or on the computer, or the boss is hovering over them, but you gotta love it when God's hovering, amen? And sometimes I just need God to just come in there and hover, to overshadow. When you're overwhelmed, ask God to overshadow. And he'll do it. He'll do it. Mary was willing to follow a plan she didn't understand, pay an unreasonable price. But third, Mary accepted her ministry with humility. Verse 38 says, I'm the Lord's servant. You know what? I really, 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 really want to take that posture on every Sunday. When I'm driving here, or Janet's driving actually, I pray, Lord, just help me to have a servant's heart. Help me to serve these people. Because I know that pride can set in like that. I hope you showed up to serve today. And to have a servant heart. Not showing up to see what the church did for you and what the church did right, the church did wrong, and then summarize it and analyze it during lunch. But you come here with a basin, a towel, and a Bible, you will be a blessing to others as well as yourself. I'm your servant. I mean, that's just the best response ever. I am a slave. I am a servant. I am willing to say yes. And her humility is one of the reasons that she was chosen. He has looked with favor on the humble condition of his servant. Mary would be devastated and embarrassed by the attention she's gotten for the last 2 millennia. By churches. Embarrassed. There's 4 main ways. And I'm not bashing any religion or any denomination or any particular person, but there are terms that you must understand where they came from, and it will help you as a Christian and help you during Christmas. The first example of how we have probably idolized Mary too much, Ave Maria. Ave Maria, you know the song, nothing wrong with the song, it's a beautiful song, but it's actually a Catholic prayer. It's a Latin term that just comes from verse 28. Greeting Mary, or Hail Mary, whatever your translation says in verse 28, that greeting is what it means. Hello Mary. You know, greeting Mary. That's what Ave Maria is in Latin. But it became a prayer that has 3 parts. The first part is right here from verse 28 from Gabriel. Hail Mary, or greeting Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. That's Gabriel saying that here. And then the second part of this Catholic prayer is from Elizabeth's greeting. Elizabeth says, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. So if you hear somebody saying a Hail Mary, which is the most common Catholic prayer, you need to understand where it came from. First part, right out of Scripture, Gabriel. Second part, right out of Scripture, Elizabeth. Third part, not so much, neither, not in Scripture. Third part is, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of death. That actually came up, made official by the Council of Trent in 1568. So the Hail Mary that you might hear, and some of you that grew up as Catholics or still Catholics, that's where those came. It's a three-part, Elizabeth, Mary, and then the church came up with that. So the other, it would be the Immaculate Conception. You've heard of that before. The Immaculate Conception is not the virgin birth. Virgin birth is a virgin birth. Immaculate Conception is a doctrine, a belief by the Roman Catholic Church that believes that Mary was born without sin and lived without sin just like Jesus. And this is not in the Bible, but it was actually Pope Pius IX who decreed this. He spoke ex cathedra, which is Latin for from the chair, which carries in the Catholic Church the same weight as Scripture. Just like in that last part, we call Mother of God, that is not a term in the Bible, but it's a term by the Church, which carries equal weight with them. And so Pius IX said from the first moment of her conception, the Blessed Virgin Mary was kept free from all stain of original sin. Now, we as Baptists don't believe that. We believe that she was 100% human. Jesus was 100% human also, but he was also 100% divine and without sin. It's the only person in the Bible said or suggested is without sin. So Mary, as awesome as she is not that awesome. But that's where that came from. The Immaculate Conception is a belief based from 1854 by Pope Pius, and it's still an official belief by the Catholic Church. The third way, or the third example, would be the Assumption. The Assumption is not the same as being ascended, although some Catholics believe that she ascended. In fact, I was at the Church of Assumption in Jerusalem several years ago. I was 17. Okay, so a while back. But I've been back since then. But I went, and it was it was a tour guide, showed us this place in this church, the Church of Assumption in Jerusalem, showed us this place where he said Mary ascended to heaven from here. Here's her footprint. Now, I'm 17, which I'd read the Bible already, and I was like, I don't remember that. Well, the thing is, even the Catholic Church, by and large, does not say she ascended. So that was the tour guide. The Assumption is that she was carried from earth to heaven, and there's disagreement among Catholics as to whether she was dead or not, but that she was like Elisha or Elijah, basically assumed into heaven, and it doesn't have any detail there, but there are churches like the one in Germantown, on 7th Street in Nashville. The Church of Assumption is based on that. I mean, all Catholics believe that, but it is the Church of Assumption is the second oldest church in Nashville. And it's actually the technical term for it, it's not on the sign, is the Church of Assumption of the Virgin Mary. And it's interesting, this church founded in 1859 by German immigrants in the Germantown only spoke German until World War II. Today, in that Church of Assumption in Nashville, right now the service is being given in Latin. At 11, there'll be a service in English, and at 4:30, there'll be one in Malaysian in the Church of Assumption. But the doctrine that you hear, you just need to understand, it came from a different Pope Pius XII, who said after the completion of her earthly life, Mary was assumed body and soul into the glory of heaven. Now, again, I'm not here to bash doctrines. I'm here to explain them. That Mary, the Bible does never suggest that she was assumed or ascended. Never assumed that she was without sin, immaculate conception. It only teaches that she was a human like you and like me. That she had the ability to say no or to say yes. She had the ability to obey or disobey. And she dealt with real struggles, real doubts, and real fears. As I was looking at his examples, I came across, actually, the song came to mind, Let It Be. Now, this wasn't a pope that wrote this. You know, Paul McCartney wrote this, 1968, came out in the White Album, 1970, Let It Be, you know. And I just had always assumed, making, you know, pastor of assumption, but I always assumed that he was singing that to Mary, because the song says, when I find myself in trouble, Mother Mary, come to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. In the original English version, that's what her response was. Mary's response was, let it be. So I just thought, Mother Mary, let it be. But Paul was writing that about his mother, who was named Mary, who died when he was 14. And when the band was breaking up, he had a dream where his mother just said, let it be. And, but in other words, chill out. Offering even more confusion about the Roman Catholic Church. So let me just make that clear. At least you learned something about culture today. Paul McCartney, he's still alive, and he's not a Catholic, okay? Now here's what Mary would say. In my opinion, he would say to the popes and Paul McCartney and anybody else that might want to lift her out of the humble status God had called her from. Do not confuse me with Jesus. Now, Catholics do not pray, technically not pray to Mary, they pray through Mary. And not just Catholics, but also Church of England, the only difference is political, mostly, theologically, about the same. But you have people that want to intercede through people that have passed before us. The Bible never suggests Mary should be an intercessor. Basically, it's like the system of you got to know somebody who knows somebody. Well, they figure because Mary is the biological mother of Jesus that, you know, if she puts in a good word for me, I'll be okay. Now, just know that's not in the Bible. So we can talk about Mary. Let's just not talk to Mary, all right? Because she would be embarrassed about all this attention being given to her when all she wanted to do was serve the Lord. Fourth reason she was picked was because she was willing to accept help from others. She's willing to pay the price, and she was really accept what she didn't understand and do, with humility, but she was willing to accept help from others. And we're not gonna go into, this is actually another great place to have a whole sermon, verses 39 through 45, where she goes to Zechariah's house and Elizabeth's house, and Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, it says, and the baby leaped inside of her. That was John the Baptist. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, your child will be blessed, the other part of the Hail Mary prayer. And here's what I want us to take away from this. She spent several months in Elizabeth's house, and God sent her there as part of the journey. And I believe Mary, being afraid and confused, but humble and obedient, needed somebody to encourage her. And she knew, or God knew, that when Mary went into that house, no telling what kind of response Mary got back in Nazareth from everybody else. But when she went to Elizabeth's house, not only did Mary get excited and say, what a blessing it is to have you here, what a blessing it is for you to have this assignment, but then even her baby leaped for joy. Even her baby got excited. And I gotta believe that Mary needed a confirmation from God. Let me tell you something that I know to be true. You're not sitting in a place where you can't reach out one step and touch somebody who needs encouragement. Yeah, I know everybody needs encouragement. I mean, but you are a step or two away from somebody who needs a lot of encouragement today. It might be you I'm talking about. And if it's not you, it might be you next week or next month. But there's people in our family here who need some encouragement, who came to church to get some encouragement. Yes, you want to be equipped, but you need to be encouraged. Mary was overwhelmed with an assignment that was beyond her ability to do. It was unreasonable. It was hard, if not impossible, to understand, but sends to Elizabeth's house, and you see this enthusiastic response. The baby leaped for joy inside of me, she says. Blessed is she who has believed the Lord, who would fulfill what he has spoken to her. Verse 45. I hope you don't go home today without encouraging a brother, a sister, or a prospect. And the last reason I think God chose Mary was because she was enthusiastic about her appointment. It wasn't just Elizabeth, but Mary herself. Cautious, yes. Afraid, yes. But we see that translating into absolute enthusiastic joy. And she writes a song. I wish I could do this, Keith. I know you write songs. We've sung some songs that Keith has written. I'm not a songwriter. I've written one song 30 years ago to Janet and sang it one time. That's it. I'm one and done. But Mary just starts singing praise. Yeah, she was worried, but she turned worry into worship. And today you can do the same thing. You can walk in here with confused about a situation or afraid about a situation, and yet you could be like this, bound up. But you don't have to leave this way. Because when we turn our worries into worship, and that's a choice. You don't have to just do it on Sunday. You can do it every day of the week. Wake up walking with God, and he just right-sizes our problems. And so she writes this song. She has not figured it all out, but she's like Titus, who it says in 2 Corinthians 8:17, he not only welcomed our appeal, but he's coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. How many of you that are bosses would like to hire 100 Tituses? You know, wouldn't everybody like to have a Titus? He comes with enthusiasm and on his own initiative. That's awesome right there. And that's who Mary was. She was enthusiastic. Christmas is exciting to the children. It's exciting to the adults. But it should not be more exciting to unchurched, unsaved people than it should be to us. Right? We ought to be enthusiastic about this true story of Jesus Christ coming. Not excited about Mary, not excited about Joseph, excited about Jesus, who's going to be the key subject next week as we look at the Holy Family. But Mary was excited about Jesus. Joseph was excited about Jesus. They were lifting up the Lord. And because of that, all of their confusion and all that cloud, God started to hover over them. And they said yes. Humbly, enthusiastically, they said yes. Today, we need to say yes. We need to enthusiastically and humbly say yes to God, regardless of what we can figure out right here or what we can get calmed down right here. Father, thank you for thank you for the unknown. We know that God, you kept your promise to bless Mary, to bless others through Mary, and that others would bless her like Elizabeth did, and Zechariah did, and eventually Joseph. Forgive us, Lord, when we've been prideful instead of humble. When we've been argumentative like Zechariah. Lord, help us to be like Mary. Help us to be yes men and yes women, even when we don't understand, even when we're afraid, Help us to be humble and enthusiastic and obedient to your will. You know, I may have just prayed for you and you're here. You're confused about Christianity. You want to know answers, and we've got answers for you. We don't have an answer to every single thing that life has thrown at you, but we do have the key answer, and we love to share Jesus with you. One of the pastors that will be down here during the invitation, love to talk to you during the invitation, after the invitation, maybe a teacher here in your class, love to talk to you about Jesus. So please don't leave here confused about how much he loves you and the price he paid so that you can go to heaven. And I pray that today many would trust Jesus as their Savior for the first time. He is the hero of this story. Some of you have been saved for a long time, but you came up here bound up in doubt and maybe fear. And God's reminded you that Mary, she's no superhero. She's just a believer who said yes. And so we pray for you today that you say yes to what God wants you to do, and that you would let him overshadow, to hover over you today. Would you just pray that right now as brothers and sisters in Christ? God, hover over us as a church. Hover over my family. Hover over me and my walk. Ask him and he will do it. His spirit right now is hovering. Some of you have been visiting this church. I meet guests every week. First time, second time, third time guests. And God's called you to plant your life and your family into this church. That might be scary for you. There's unknown things, things you don't know. But walk in obedience and God will bless that. Some of you need to be baptized. That takes a lot of guts. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that you would be honored and glorified through this invitation and all the decisions, those private and those public. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray, amen.